All right, Mitvach, everyone. We're holding on Tzadik Amud Beis about the middle of the Amud, line begins Yecholin. We discussed the Machloikas, we started discussing a Machloikas of Rav and Ula on the question. Now we know that if a person is Tomei, then they can't bring the Korban Pesach, they bring Pesach Sheni instead. We know if Tzibur is Tomei, if they're Tomei Mess or Tomei Sheretz, as we've discussed before, then they bring it to Truma. But our Mishnah had talked about cases where a person is Tahor, but not, is mostly Tahor, but not quite there yet. They still need Tevila or head of Shem, they still need Tevila and head of Shemesh, and some of them need a Korban as well. So now, Rav had said, if the person is Tomei from a Sheretz, now even though all he needs at that point is he doesn't need sprinkling with part Adum or water, he doesn't need a Korban, doesn't need anything like that. All he needs is Tevila and head of Shemesh. Nevertheless, Rav says you can't shech the Korban Pesach on his behalf unless he actually Tovel. And we said the reason is because otherwise he might get careless and not end up Toveling. As opposed to Ula had said that you could shecht for him, having in mind that later in the day he's going to go and tovel and he'll be ready to eat the Korban Pesach that night. We said, on the other hand, a mechusik kippurim, there's less of an issue because even though we said if he only needs head of Shemesh, if he already toveled and is only waiting for head of Shemesh, then even Rav would agree there's no issue because shimshim amela arva, the sun goes down on its own. There's no maise that's needed where we can say he would get careless. And if he's a mechusik kippurim, if he needs a korban brought on his behalf, then we're talking about where he already gave the money or the birds or whatever to the kohenim and therefore they're responsible for it. And therefore, they're going to make sure that it gets done before that gets done so that he'll be able to eat the korban. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanan, let's look at our Mishnah and see whether it works out better according to Rav or according to Ula. The Mishnah says, Zav Sharosh Shtei Re'iyos, if a Zav had two emissions of Ziva, which is enough to make him a Zav in the sense that he's Matami Mishka of Moshe, his bed, his couch, his seat, etc., become an Avatoma. But with two Re'iyos, he doesn't yet have to bring a korban, but he needs seven clean days, and then to Tovel, and then head of Shemesh, but he doesn't need to bring a korban. So the Mishnah had said, Shechtin Olav Vashvi. We said we can shecht for him if his seventh day of his counting comes out on Erev Pesach. Now, my lav b'lay Tovel, L'chorda, the Mishnah is not distinguishing whether he already Toveled. So it could be talking about even where he didn't Tovel yet. U'shmamina shechtin v'zokin al tmei sheretz. Therefore, that would tell us that you could shecht and sprinkle the blood of the Korban Pesach for Tomei Sheretz, because in effect, now that this guy has had his seven clean days, since he doesn't need a Korban, all he needs is Tevila and head of Shemesh. Effectively, he's in the same position as a Tomei Sheretz. I mean, there is a slight difference, because if he has another emission of Ziva later in the day, then it undoes his whole count. But fine, now that can't be helped. Okay, then at the time when they shechted, at least he was kosher to bring, we expect that he's going to be kosher that night to bring the Korban Pesach. So therefore we can say that if he doesn't end up having that another emission of Ziva, then he's Yotza. We talked about a Daf Pei Aleph. We talked about what happens if he does end up having. We said there's no such thing as Tumas Satahoim of Ziva. So therefore we wouldn't say that then. It turns out retroactively that he was Yotza. We would say he wasn't, fine. But at least if he doesn't have that, then he is Yotza. So, but Pashtus, the Mishnah is not distinguishing whether he Tovled or not. So therefore, that shows that you could sheft and sprinkle the blood on behalf of the Tomei Sheretz, because in effect, this Zav, after his seven clean days, is like a Tomei Sheretz. All he needs at this point is Tevila and head of Shemesh. And okay, he also needs that there shouldn't be another Ziva, but fine, we're not focusing on that. So therefore, that would be not like Rav. The answer is not to Tovel, not necessarily. The Mishnah could be talking about where he already Tovel. So the question is, he Tovel Maika Mashmalon. If he Tovel, what's the Chiddush? Of course. Now, of course, he Tovel. All he needs is head of Shemesh. So what's the Chiddush that you can shecht on his behalf? The answer is Haka Mashmalon. That's exactly what we want to tell us. The Afa Gavda Mechusa head of Shemesh, even though he still requires head of Shemesh, at this point, when we shecht the Korban for him, he's not yet in a position to be able to eat it. Because he's still a Tevil Yom, there's no problem. Kamash Malon, so the Mishnah is telling us that there's no problem with Shimshim and Mela Arva, because after all, the sun goes down on its own. There's no Maisa that we're waiting for us to be able to say that he might get careless. So therefore, Rav agrees that you can check for him on that behalf, but that itself is the Chiddush of the Mishnah that we do say that. So again, we said that if he's waiting on something which doesn't require human intervention, namely the sun setting, then we can shecht on his behalf. Also, as we're going to see in the next piece, if we're waiting on something which requires human intervention, but it's something where we can say, then we also say that's good enough. Only where we say that it's something that depends on him, namely toveling, is Rav going to say that that's no good. So, the Gemara says, Hachi nami misnabra. In fact, it's logical to say that that's what the Mishnah, that's the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that was point that even though he's a Tevul Yoim, you can still shecht on his behalf. But that, in other words, that presupposes that he's already toveled. Why? Midkatani Sefer, because the next part of the Mishnah continues. The next part of the Mishnah continues. Rosh Sholosh Re'iyas. It continues that this Zav, if he had three emissions of Ziva, Shech Dinol Bashmini, then you can shecht for him if his eighth day came out on Erev Pesach. Because again, seven clean days, he finished the day before. And now this day, he's bringing his carbon. So, So if you're going to understand, as Rav understands, as Rav has to understand our Mishnah, that we're talking about, it is his seventh day, what we're talking about, he already toveled, then we need the next part of the Mishnah, because otherwise, without next, if we didn't have the next part, you would have thought to say, you know why, if he had two re'iyas, why you can shecht on the seventh day, because once he already tobled, then there's no more ma'isa, all we're waiting for is head of Shemesh, and that happens automatically. But if he had three re'iyas, where there he needs to bring a korban as well, and it's on the eighth day, the mechusa ma'isa. Now there, after all, there is a ma'isa lacking because he can't eat from the korban until his korban for his zivus is brought. Mechusa ma'isa. So you would say mechusa kapara loy. So maybe you would say therefore somebody like him who is a mechusa kapara, who's waiting for his korban to be brought. Maybe indeed we can't allow him. Maybe indeed we would have to say we can't allow the korban to be shechted on his behalf. While he's a mechusa kapara, because what happens if the korban doesn't end up getting brought? Kamash Malan, therefore the Mishnah would be telling us to afagav the mechusa kapara, because even though he's a mechusa kapara, the chiddush of the next part is shecht and mezokin alavei, nevertheless we can shecht and sprinkle the blood on his behalf, because as we said before, the koyanim has risen. So if we say, so again, if we understand, so it's more, we thought originally the Mishnah was a question on Rav, because it's not distinguishing between whether he toveled or not. But now we're saying fakir. The very fact that the Mishnah goes on to discuss the case where he has to bring a korban, then it means each part of the Mishnah is telling us a chiddush. The first part is telling us, even though he brought a korban, we're talking about he already toveled, but he's waiting only for head of Shemesh. That's fine, because a head of Shemesh happens automatically and there's nothing for him to be pashay on. And the second part of the Mishnah would be saying, and even where there's a korban for him that he has to bring before he can eat from the korban Pesach, that's also fine, because we're not worried about that, because the korban has risen. But if you're going to tell me, like Ulla would be, now Ulla would be able to understand the Mishnah either way. He would say that the Mishnah is not distinguishing. So like we originally thought, therefore, the Mishnah could be talking about whether he toveled on the seventh day or not. If you were going to say the Mishnah was talking about even where he hadn't toveled, then what would be the chiddush about the part where he had three re'iyas and was saying that we can shech the korban for him on the eighth day? Why would we need that? We could make a kavachomer and we would know it. Now we could say like this: when he had two re'iyas and it's on the seventh day and he hasn't yet toveled, the tomei malyahu, then he's full fledged tomei until he tovels. He's still metame mishkov moshev, etc. And yet shachtinim zakin and elavei. Yet according to that way of understanding the Mishnah, we would say that even then we're allowed to shecht the korban on his behalf and sprinkle the blood on his behalf because he can tovel later in the day. So even though he's a full fledged tomei now, the fact that by night he'll be good is good enough. Well then, Rosh Sholosh Bishmini. So if he has three re'iyas, and we're already talking on his eighth day, the Tovel Le'Bishmini, now necessarily he already toveled on the seventh day, because otherwise there's nothing to talk about as far as bringing his korbanos. The Klisha Tumah, his Tumah has already been weakened. At this point, he's not a full-fledged Tumah. He's not even a Tevul Yom, because he toveled the day before. Now he's only a Mechusa Kippurim. It's only a very weak level of Tumah.
Just
and now it's just waiting for his korbanos. How much more so than that you could shecht and sprinkle on his behalf? So there'd be no reason for the Mishnah to mention it if the first case of the Zav Shirosh Shtei Re'iyas was talking about where he hadn't yet toveled. So that shows that the first part of the Mishnah, when it's talking about shechting and sprinkling for him on his seventh day, must be the tovil, must be where he tovil'd. So therefore, if we understand the Mishnah that way, if we realize that the next part of the Mishnah would have been unnecessary because we could have learned it by a kavachomer, then we understand that the first part of the Mishnah must be talking about where he's tovil'd. So both parts are talking about where he tovil'd. And the point is, in the earlier part of the Mishnah, though, we're saying, don't worry about the fact that he hasn't had a head of Shemesh because Shimshim Amela Arva, the sun will go down by its own. Then in the next part of the Mishnah, you're saying you should know not only that, but even when there's Mechusar Maisa, also it's good enough if the Mechusar Maisa is only a carbon because his Tumah has already been weakened. Because he already had the seven clean days, he already tovel'd, he already had a head of Shemesh, and all he's waiting for is his carbon. So once we understand the Mishnah that way, then Adarav, it's a proof for Rav. So how is Ula going to understand it? So the answer is lo. The Gemara says not necessarily. La'olam emelach delay tovil. You could actually say that the Mishnah maybe is talking about where he hadn't tovil'd yet, like Ula, and we still can shecht on his behalf. The Itzrich, nevertheless, we could still say the part about the eighth day, about the three times Ziva, and the eighth day, there still would be a chiddush in it. Sagan hamina b'shvihu debiyodi l'sakin, because you could argue when he's a two times Zav and it's a seventh day, everything that has to happen for him to be able to eat the korban is all in his hands. He has to go to the mikveh. So it's biyadeh, it's in his hands. Therefore we could say that fine, Ula's not worried about that he's gonna get careless and forget to do it. So therefore, fine, so that's good enough. Avol b'shmini, de'en biyadeh l'hakriv korban. After all, if we're talking about this three times Zav where he needs to bring a korban, he can't bring the korban himself. If he's a Yisrael, he anyway can't bring korbanos. Even if he's a Kohen, he's mechosek kiporim, he can't bring the korban on his own behalf. So somebody else has to bring it on his behalf. So you could argue that... So
can someone bring someone a korban
to
someone else?
No. What I mean is, in other words, he can bring the korban to the Kohenim, but the Kohenim are the ones who have to do melika, and the Kohenim are the ones who have to put the blood on the mizbeach. Yeah, that's the point. In other words, he can't do it. Unlike toveling, which is something that's purely in his hands to do that, here it's not purely in his hands to bring the korban. So you could have argued that fakir. You could say when it's something, just say he has to tovel, then fine. He has to tovel. Fine, we can depend on him to do that. But when it comes to bring a korban, we can't depend on him because he's not the one who actually offers the korban on the mizbeach. Aim a pashi be koyanim. Maybe you would argue we have to be concerned that the koyanim would get careless and not do it. Kamash malon could Reb Shmaya, and therefore the Mishnah would be telling us, like what Reb Shmaya said, don't worry about the koyanim getting careless because koyanim is using him. We could say that's the chiddush of the last part of the Mishnah. So even according to Ula, the Mishnah could work. So according to Rav, like this, the first part of the Mishnah would tell us, even though he's got head of Shemesh, don't worry about it because Shim Shemela Arba. As far as when their korban needs to be brought, don't worry about it because koyanim is his name, and because anyway his tumah is weakened at this point. According to Ula, the vort would be in the first part of the Mishnah, we're saying he hasn't yet tovel, and the chiddush is even though he hasn't yet tovel, you can still bring the korban because it's only up to him to tovel, and therefore we can depend on him to do it. And in the second part, the chiddush is even when it's not up to him, when it's up to the koyanim to do it, we can depend on them because koyanim is his name.
So there's no question about a kalachemim to either.
So according to both Rab and Ula, the second part of the Mishnah is giving us a chiddush over the first part, and therefore we can't say that we could have learned it from a kalachemim, and therefore that's unnecessary. The Rambam in practice paskins like Rav. So therefore, yeah, Tumei Sheretz, if he hasn't yet tovel'd, then you can't bring the Korban Pesach on his behalf. And again, we talked about yesterday also, the Rambam's shita is that with a Tumei mess, if the seventh day of his Tumah comes out on Erev Pesach, then he still can't eat the Korban that night. You sprinkle him with part of Adruma water that day, and he tovels, and he goes to the mikveh, and all of that has been accomplished. And now
the sun definitely will set.
Right, and the sun will definitely set. Nevertheless, the Rambam understands the discussion, the Gemara before, to be saying that nevertheless, Gzeiras HaKosev, that he still can't bring the Korban Pesach. He has to go to Pesach Sheni. Again, we said yesterday that Ivan argues on that. The Kesef Mishnah discusses at some length how the Rambam would understand or Gemara, how the Ivan would understand or Gemara. Yeah.
But the
halacha of the Rambam paskins, I mean, you know, it's Hilchos of the Mashiach. I mean, it's a halacha that's negeya for when Mashiach comes. So when Mashiach comes, and the Sanhedrin will be reestablished, and they can sit down and decide whether to paskin like the Rambam or the Ivan. But yeah, okay. Onward. We said in the Mishnah of Azova Shochin B'chola, we said now in the case of the Mishnah, you have like this. There's a shemeres yoim keneged yoim. There's a woman who had a flow of blood. So again, remember, we learned in Masech Nidah, there's the 7 days of Nidah, which is there's the 7 days of nida. If she bleeds any time during that time, then she's only tame until the end of the seventh day after it started. And then she goes to the mikveh that night and she's taher.
She has to count 7 days again?
No. We're talking daraisa. Let's say, for example, a woman's cycle, let's say, begins Rosh Chodesh. Her cycle, let's say, begins Rosh Chodesh. Any bleeding that takes place between Rosh Chodesh and the seventh of the month, between Aleph and Zion, is considered Dam Nida. All she has to do is wait until the end of Zion. She toibles the night after Zion, and she's Tahor. In terms of Kodshim, though, keep in mind, since she's only toibling by night, as we're going to discuss at the end of the Gemara over here, it means that if that happened on Erev Pesach, then no good. She can't have the Korban Pesach brought on her behalf. She's going to need Pesach Sheni. But because what's going to happen if she tovels on the night, after the seventh of Adar, let's say, then she only has head of Shemesh at Tzeitzit Kochavim after the eighth of Adar, because she has a whole nother day after that she has to wait until the head of Shemesh. So therefore, only on the night after Ches Adar is she going to be able to eat Kodshim. So, but anyway, that's with the Nida. Then you have after the days of Nida, there's the 11 days of Ziva, where if she has a flow of blood on one day or 2 days consecutively during that time, then she's a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom. She needs one clean day. And then after she can tovel on that clean day, or a Zava can tovel during the day, unlike a Nida. And then she's Tahor that night. She has head of Shemesh and she's Tahor for everything that night. If she has three times Ziva, then she needs to, that she also needs seven, then she needs seven clean days. Then she needs seven full clean days. And she still can tovel on the last day of the seventh day. She doesn't have to wait until the night, but she's a Mechuseres Kippurim. She has to bring a korban the next day. So the Mishnah had said that a Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, if her clean day comes out on Erev Pesach, then we can shech the korban on her behalf. Again, according to Ula, that would mean even if she hasn't toveled yet. According to Rav, it would have to mean only if she toveled and is waiting for head of Shemesh. If she's a Zava, meaning a Zava Gdola, where she had three or more days of flow during the 11 days, then she needs seven clean days, but then we can shech on her behalf on the eighth day. Because again, the eighth day is when she brings her korbanos like the Zava.
Right, that eighth day is going to be it's going to be Pesach, right?
That eighth day. We're talking about if the eighth day is Erev Pesach. Right. So in other words, if she had, so let's consider she bled on, let's say, Dalet Hey Vav Nissen. So she starts counting seven clean days, Zayin Ches Tes, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. And then, so Yud Gimel, she goes to the mikveh sometime during the day. That night she has head of Shemesh, but she's still
by night.
She can toivel by day, only a nida and a yavedis. We're going to talk about soon after toivel by night. Nowadays, forget about how we do it nowadays. Yeah. Nowadays, what we do is a hybrid of the halachas of Nida and Zava. We're talking about a daraisa level. Okay. So daraisa, a Zava Gdola, can tovel by day. So she can tovel. So she had her flow, Dalet Hey Vav Nissen. She now counts the 7 days run from Zion through your Gimel Nissen. The seventh day is your Gimel.
She goes to the mikveh,
has a head of Shemesh. So far, so good. Now she can eat Truma. She can eat Meiser. She can't eat Kodshim yet. Erev Pesach, the next day, the eighth day, she has to bring her korban. She has to bring two birds as a korban. One is a chatas, one is an oila. Then she's finished with her kapara. Now she can eat kodshim that night. So we're saying in the Mishnah, therefore, that that's what we can do. We can share.
Well, so that she misses out on the korban Pesach?
No. Again, your dalad nissen is Erev Pesach. So we're good. If she started bleeding on hay nissen, yeah, there'd be a problem. But if she started on dalad nissen or earlier, then we're good.
She brings her kabbanas Erev Pesach.
She brings her kabbanas Erev Pesach. And we discussed in the fifth perek of our Masechta that's one of the rare exceptions where we say that we can bring it even after the Talmud Shabbat Abayim. Usually the Pesach is the only exception, but in order to prevent an Issur Kares, which will happen if they don't bring the Korban Pesach, we allow the Zav or the Zava to bring their Korban on that day after the Talmud Shabbat Abayim. So we're going to talk about soon. We're going to talk about the question of whether women are or aren't chayiv in the Korban Pesach. We have three different opinions about that. Away. Okay. So the Gemara says, Toni Tana Kameder of Adaba Ava. A Tana taught a Braisa in front of Rav Adaba Ava, saying, Vahazaba Shechtin Aleva Shvi Shalom, that a Zaba you could shecht the Korban Pesach on her seventh day, not like our Mishnah said the eighth day. Omalei, so Rav Adaba Ava sells houses, and what are you talking about? Zaba Bashvi Shalom Michazia? How could a Zaba have the Korban brought on her behalf on the seventh day? I feel them under Omer Shechtin Bezokin Al Tomei Sheretz. Even according to Ula, who says you could shecht the korban for a Tomei Sheretz, handing me the Tomei Sheretz, the Chazi La'urta. At least the Tomei Sheretz is going to be suitable that evening because all he needs, fine. According to Ula, we're talking about he hasn't toveled yet, but fine. Once he toveled and he has head of Shemesh, he's good. But here, this Zava, until she brings her korban, she can't eat kodshim. And when does she bring her korban? On the eighth day, not the seventh. So your braisa is wrong. Eima b'shmini. Therefore, you have to say that the braisa, you have to correct your braisa. It doesn't say the seventh day, it's supposed to say the eighth day. Well, then the question is pshita. Well, then, isn't it obvious? Now, Tosfos says, okay, the Mishnah also mentioned that, but fine, the Mishnah, once the Mishnah mentioned the Zav, then it also mentions, then it mentions the Shemeres Yom Keneged Yom, so it mentions the Zava also in order to round things out. But here, this Braise is mentioning the Zava by herself. So if it's telling us that you can shech the korban for on the eighth day, then what's the Chiddush? Of course, the eighth day, she brings her korban, and then she's like everybody else, she can eat kodshim. What's the problem? The answer is, Maud Tema, given the Machasra Kapara Loi. Again, like we said before, you would think she's a Machuseras Kapara. She hasn't yet brought her korban. Maybe we shouldn't be able to bring the korban Pesach on her behalf until we make sure the korban is brought. Kamash Malon, Kedid Rav Shmaya. Again, we're telling us, like what Rav Shmaya said before, that the Beis Din Shokoyanim will be careful to make sure that everybody's korbanis who brought money for their korbanis, that all the korbanis will be dealt with before the end of the day. So therefore, we can rely on that Chazaka, and therefore we can shech the korban Pesach on her behalf, having in mind that the Kohenim are going to be bringing her korban at some point during the day.
Before the korban.
Before, but no, it doesn't matter whether it's before the korban Pesach or not. That's the point. We can shech the korban Pesach without even knowing whether her korban is brought, and depend on the fact that the Beis Din Shel Kohenim will make sure before Shkia that korban will be brought, and that way she'll be able to eat kodshim that night. Ravina Amar Nida Tana Kame. Ravina has a different version of the story. This Tana, the Braisa that he taught in front of Rav Adar Bar Ava, was not about a Zava, but it was about a Nida. Namely, the version of the Braisa was Nida Shech Nalev Shvi, that a Nida you can shecht on her seventh day. Now again, with a Nida, we're saying Daraisa. All it is she, as long as the flow of blood stops sometime before the seventh day, then she can tovel that night. So in other words, so let's say again, she became a Nida then, her cycle started on Zion Nissen. So we're saying then, so you have Zion Ches Tes, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Actually, no, sorry, it started on Ches Nissen rather. Started on Ches Nissen. Ches Tes, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet. Yud Dalet is the seventh day.
The first day you can count as part of the day.
Yeah, that's the point. It counts as. Because with a Nida, you don't need seven clean days. That's the point. She could be bleeding continuously on Ches, Tes, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet. As long as it stops sometime before Shkia on Yud Dalet, then she can go to the mikveh that night. Midaraisa, again, we're talking about. So the Braisa, so according to Ravina, the Braisa had said that if her seventh day comes out on Erev Pesach, then you can shech the Korban Pesach. And in that version, Omale, again, Rav Adar Bar Ava tells him, how could that be? Nida b'shvi michazya. How is a Nida suitable to eat the Korban Pesach if her seventh day came out on Erev Pesach? I feel the mandu omer shechtin v'zoker al tmei sheretz. Even according to Ula, who said you could shecht for the tmei sheretz, again, the difference is the chazi la'uta. At least he will be able to eat the korban in the evening, because all he needs is tefillah and head of shemesh. Nida la'uta de shvihu de tavla, but a nida can only tovel the night after her seventh day. So in our scenario, the earliest that she can tovel is the night of Pesach, the first night of Pesach. And ad shmini of the head of shemesh lechazia, and she can't eat korbanos until the following night. In our case, she wouldn't be able to eat korbanos until the first night of Chol HaMoed. So she's missed the korban Pesach. Ela ema b'shmini. So therefore, Rav Adar Bar Ava corrects the Tana and says your braisa has to say that you're talking about the nida. It's talking about the eighth day. So again, her flow started, her cycle started on Zion. So fine, Zion through your gimel is 7 days. She went to the mikveh the night after your gimel. Yud Dalet, then she has head of Shemesh in the evening, and then she's good. So then again, the question is Pshita. Well, isn't that obvious? Hashta Uma Zava de Mechasra Kapara Sheikhin Mazokan Alea Bashmini, Madacha Zava, where she actually needs a korban, and still we're saying you could shech and sprinkle the blood if her eighth day comes out on Erev Pesach. Nida la Mechasra Kapara Tzricha Lamemer, how much more so in Nida, where she doesn't need to bring a korban, the Shechtin and Vizakin in Allah, that we can shech and sprinkle on her behalf. The answer is nida tzrichalai. According to Ravina's version, there is a chiddush in the braisa mentioning a nida, which we didn't really have that in our Mishnah. In our Mishnah, we mentioned a shemeres yom keneged yom, and a zava, we didn't talk about a nida. So there is a chiddush in the braisa mentioning that a nida, if the eighth day comes out on Erev Pesach, that we can check. The chiddush is, because that's exactly what the Braisa wants to tell us. Bashmini in Bashvi Loi, precisely that point. That only if the eighth day is Erev Pesach are we good. But if the seventh day is Erev Pesach, then she's not. Now, why do we need to know that? Kedetanya, because we learn in a Braisa. Kol chayovit tvilas tvilasin bayom. Most people who have to tovel are allowed to tovel during the day. So, for example, a zav counts as 7 clean days, and he can tovel during the day on the 7th day. A zava as well, a person who was tamei mes, tamei sheretz, etc. Most of them are allowed to tovel during the day. Nida v'yeledes tvilasin balayla, but dafka nida and a woman who gave birth have to tovel by night. That's exactly the chiddush. If we didn't have the braisa telling us, we would have thought, fine, a nida whose 7th day comes out on Erev Pesach, good, she tovels during the day, head of shemesh, and we're finished. The braisa wants us to realize, no, a nida cannot tovel during the day on the 7th day. And we know that. Nida and a woman who gave birth have to tovel by night. And why is that? Ditanya, because we learn in another braisa, you would think that a nida is allowed to tovel during the day on her 7th day. The pasuk says 7 days she will be. The word tia is extra. She will be in her nida, meaning cult, meaning to hate benidasa to hate, meaning to hate benidasa kol shiva. She remains in her status of nida for the entire 7 days. So only after the 7th day is over can she tovel. Complete days. The yod is, in other words, we don't say mikta same kula as we do by many others. The yodis ish itkash l'nida, and a woman who gave birth as a hekesh between her and a nida, because the pasuk says on a woman who gave birth, ki mei nidas devoisa titma, so therefore whatever applies to a nida applies to a yeledes, therefore she also can only tovel by night. So therefore the result is, again, with the nida, if her cycle started on Zion-ness or any earlier, then we're good. She tovels on the night after Yud Gimel. She has head of Shemesh on the night from Yud Dalet going into Tesvav. And by the time it comes the night of Tesvav, she can eat the Karm Pesach. But if her cycle started any time after Ches Nissen, then no good. Then she can't bring the Karm Pesach. Someone once pointed out, actually, it's kind of odd that the Torah puts Pesach Sheni exactly a month after Pesach Rishon. When you get down to it, for the women, many times that's going to mean if a woman is nida 1 month before Pesach, then the next month she's likely to be also. Yeah, ain't a chanamim, but that's how it is. Okay. Mishnah says, ha'oinin. An oinin is a person who his relative passed away that day. Rashi explains we're talking about that the mess hasn't been buried. The Rambam in Pirush HaMishnayos says not necessarily. It could even be talking about where the mess was already buried. Whatever. On the day of the Missa itself, he's considered an oinin. He's potter for most mitzvahs. After, then you have like this. Midrabanan also, now we have like this. You can have a case where the mess is not being buried that day. You can have a case where the mess is only being buried a day or two later, let's say. Then he continues to be an oinin, but only midrabanan. And then you also have the night afterwards, let's say they're burying the mess by night, during the night after the Missa, also he's an Onan only Midrabbana. After the Missa. But here we're talking about, again, Rashi says we're talking about where the mess hasn't even been buried yet. So him, Vamafakeach HaSagal, also a person who is digging out a pile of rubble, so a building or something collapsed, the person is trapped underneath, and somebody is digging out the rubble in order to save him, and we don't know if he's going to find him alive or dead. So can we shecht the Korban Pesach on his behalf? That's the discussion, and the discussion is going to be, for each of these people, can we shecht the Korban Pesach on their behalf? So v'chein mishiv tichu lo hitziyim beis asurim. Also, if there was a yid in jail, and they promised that they're going to let him out of jail before Pesach night. So v'hachoyla, also a sick person, v'hazokin, or an old person, shehen yecholim lechol kazayis, where they still are healthy enough to be able to eat a kazayis, all of them, shechten aleihem, for all of them, we can shecht the Korban Pesach. The oinin we can shecht for him, because even though during the day he's an oinin and is not allowed to eat kodshim, by night he's only going to be an oinin b'drabbanon. And the Chachamim are not going to impose that where it's going to be an Issur Koris. So therefore, we're going to allow him to not be considered an Oinon to the extent that he can eat the Korban Pesach. Mikveh is not an issue. Midrabanan, we say yes to Tovah. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that tomorrow, Bez Hashem. But yes, so he doesn't have to go. If he was involved in the Kvura, obviously, if he was involved in burying the mess, then obviously he's coming mess. There's nothing to talk about. We're talking about, let's say, other people are taking care of the Kvura. He's only an Onan because it was his relative.
This guy who's on digging the stone for might be touching a mess.
So that's the point. So we're saying, because the Gemara is going to explain, we're talking about where it was, let's say, a long pile of rubble. So we don't know, there's no reason to say necessarily that at the time they shechted the Korban, he was yet Tamei. And afterwards, he may, after all, find the person alive. If he finds him dead, then we have to talk about whether he was Tomei at the time or not. So all these cases, so the Onen, again, Midoraisa, he can't eat Kodshim, but that's only during the day. Midoraisa, he'd be allowed to eat Kodshim that night. Midorabonon, usually he wouldn't, but in this case, we make an exception. The Mafakeach is a gal, we say that right now he still has a chazakah of being tahor. If he finds the person mess, then we can talk about when did that happen.
It's an open ear.
Well, but it's under the pile of rubble. Remember, if a mess is not under an oil, if a mess is a mess is ritzutze, it's not under an oil tefach al tefach al rum tefach, then the tumah goes straight up. Oh. So whenever he's over the body, he becomes tummy, but we don't know yet. The person who was in jail, since they told him he's going to get out before that night, and he's going to be able to eat the Karban Pesach, the choler, the zaken, the point is we don't say that they might get sicker or they might get weaker and not be able to eat the kazayas. Right now they're able to, so therefore it's good. On the other hand, the Mishnah continues, al kulam en shechtan alein b'fnei atzman. Now, for all these kinds of people, we do not shecht for them by themselves, shemi yaviu, as a Pesach, li dei psul, because they might cause the Pesach is going to become possel. What if, for example, the Onan does end up becoming tummy mess? The Mefakeach HaSagal also, he might become tummy mess. The person in jail might not get out. The Choyler or the Zaken, they may become sicker. So then it winds out, then it winds up that the whole Korban becomes possel. So therefore, we don't want to do that. The Rambam has a different understanding of it, which is we don't want to allow the Korban to become noiser. According to Rashi, it comes out. If you have, let's say, for example, one person, according to Rashi, let's say if you have an entire group of Onanim or an entire group of Cholim or whatever, then there's for sure no problem to Shech, because it's very unlikely that all of them are going to all of a sudden become Tomei or all of them are going to become sick or whatever. So some of them, so you can't Shech for one such person, but you could Shech for a group. Obviously, everybody would agree you could Shech for a group that has one Onanit and a bunch of others. But according to Rashi, it would come out, he doesn't say so explicitly, but it seems it would come out that according to him, you could have a group of all Onanim and there's no problem in it. On the other hand, according to the Rambam, the problem is you don't want the Korban to become noiser. You still have the problem that maybe, after all of them are going to end up becoming Tomei, and then the Korban is going to end up being noiser, and we don't want that. And therefore, the only way you could do is join the Onan together with a bunch of regular people. That way, he can't eat his portion, fine, they can eat his portion for him. Okay. Lefichach, now because of that, because we're saying that at the time of the Shechita and the Zrika, they were still able to be Yotza the Korban Pesach, if later on it turns out that they were possible, for example, the Onan afterwards did end up becoming Tomei for his mess, or the Mefakeach Zagal did find the person dead, and we have reason to believe that he was Tomei at the time when it was shechted, etc. So then, Turim Elasas, Pesach Sheni, then all of them are potter from making Pesach Sheni because at the time of the Shechita and the Zrika, they were all kosher. Well, actually, Chutzman and Mefakeach Bagal, except for the Mefakeach Bagal, show Tomei Mitchilasi because he's Tomei to begin with, because as the Gemara is going to say, we're talking about it's a round pile. So therefore, no matter where he is on the pile, inevitably he's over the mess. As opposed to if it was a long pile, Lav Davka was he over the mess yet at the time they shechted the carbon.
That's a long handle.
A long handle, yeah, fine. But the point is, no, but the handle is not necessarily going to transmit tumah to him because only if it's an oil over the mess. And if the mess is still buried under the rubble, then the shovel is not yet an oil over it. Only if he digs out the mess, once he finds the mess. Yeah, if he has a point when the shovel is over the mess, then yeah, it could transmit tumah to him. But it could. Yeah, because, yeah. Kolam etalpim mevias ha-tumah bo'ovi mardeya. If they have the width of a tefach, then they bring the tumah to him da'araisa, and if not, then they bring the tumah to him da'rabanan if they're a third of a tefach, whatever. Okay, fine. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Bar Huna, Amar Rav Bar Rav Huna, really it's supposed to be, Amar Rav Yechanan, lo shonu ela beis ha-surin da'at. When we talk about this case of the person who was in jail and was saying that we shouldn't shecht the Korban Pesach for him exclusively because it might end up that it's going to be possible, it might end up that he's not able to eat it, is only if it's a jail that's run by goy. But if it's a jail that's run by Jews, now why would a beis be putting him in jail? Rashi gives a couple of reasons. One reason might be, for example, because he's married to a woman that he's also to. So beis will throw him in jail until he agrees to divorce her. The famous Rambam that says that we can force him to give her a get, and even though he doesn't say roitzani, but a yid deep down wants to follow what the Eibishter says, so we can use jail as an incentive for that. Another example, Rashi says, let's say he owes money and he's not paying, so then they can put him in jail temporarily until he pays up. Another example Rashi gives is you have the case in Parashas Mishpatim, where one person hits another one, and then Reuven hits Shimon and injures him, and Shimon is dangerously sick. So we say we put Reuven in jail until we see that Shimon recovers, because if Shimon ends up dying, then we have to execute Reuven because he killed him.
Literally, you have to pay money.
No. So that's what we're saying. If Shimon ends up dying, what we say is v'lo yomus v'nafal mishkab im yakum. If Shimon gets up, he's halich b'chutz amishante, and he walks outside with his full strength, the nika hamaka. Then the one who hit him, Reuven, is exempt from misa, but then he has to pay the chamisha dvarim, nezek and sarah. Yes. But if he dies, then we would execute Reuven because he killed him. If we had Aiden Basra and the whole nine yards, yeah. But yeah. So the point is, in other words, so we put him in jail until we see what happens with Shimon. So there's another example where a yid could be in jail, where a yid would put another yid in jail.
Or bezin, of course.
That's what we're talking about. So if it's a beis din run by Jews, then we could even shecht for him, even if he's the only one for this Korban Pesach. Because Because once they promised him they're going to let him out, they're going to keep their promise and actually let him out. The pasuk says, the remnant of the Jewish people, meaning the Jews who are left after the Aseres HaShvatim went into Golos, etc., lo yasu avla, they won't do injustice, v'lo yadabru chozav, and they won't speak lies. So therefore, in other words, when they say that they're going to let him out, then we can depend that they're going to keep their word. Tosfos brings the opposite side of it, which is if goyim have him in jail, even if they promise to let him go, the pasuk until him says Asher piyam diber shav v'yiminam yamin shaker, that their mouth speaks lies and their right hand, even if they raise their hand and swear, nevertheless it can be a false oath, and therefore we can't rely on them. Omer of chista ha de amrit beis ha'asurim de akum loy. Now this that you're saying, that if it was even if that this that you're saying that if Goy is in jail, then you can't shecht on him on his own. You can say you can include him in a group, and if he gets out, then good, he can join the group, and if not, then he's potter from making Pesach Sheni because he could have been let out. But that's only lo yamoren ela chutz lachoymas beis pagi. That only applies if the jail is outside the wall of beis pagi, which we've learned before. Uli yonim asechta is the outermost part of Yerushalayim. You can see the Harabai, whatever, it's inside the city of Yerushalayim. We can see the Harabai, that's outside Yerushalayim. Beis Pagi is an area, it's like an extension of Yerushalayim, but it's still within the walls of Yerushalayim. Aval, lifnim, chomas beis pagi, but if the jail is within chomas beis pagi, sheikh and all of the atzmai, then you could even shecht the Korban Pesach for him exclusively. Because then there's no problem. My timer, because even if the goyim don't keep their promise and he stays in jail, no problem. Efter de amtu leva ochalai, they could bring the Korban Pesach to him in the jail and he could eat it right there. So in other words, there's no reason to worry about the Korban Pesach is going to become posel or that it's going to be noiser or whatever, because either way, he's inside Yerushalayim, he's able to eat it. So then we don't have to worry about whether they said they're going to let him out and whether they're going to keep their promise or not. Okay. We said in the Mishnah, we said if something happens afterwards, the oinin becomes tameh, or the person in jail doesn't end up getting let out of jail, etc. So we said there's still potter from Pesach Sheni because at the time of the shechita and the zrika, they were kosher, except we said for the mefakeach hasagal, the one who's digging open the rubble, there we say he's tameh mitchilosei. So, Amar Rabbi Babachon, Amar Bechanan, Loishonu ala gal ogur. That applies only if it's a round pile of stones. Now, that means, in other words, when you think of it, when a building collapses or something, if it forms a round thing, it means, in other words, the mess is directly under there, and like it's wider on the bottom and it narrows naturally towards the top. So, when you're starting on the top and working your way down, inevitably you're over the mess. Avol gal oruch, but if it's a long pile of rubble, so not necessarily at the time of you bechlal over the mess, potter milasis Pesach Sheni, then he's potter from Pesach Sheni, ema tohor hoya b'shas shchita, because he could well have been tohor at the time of shchita, and again, it's a suffix, and because of a suffix, you can't make him bring a Pesach Sheni, because again, you have the problem that we discussed the other day. We have the case Rashi mentions. You have the case we had a few days ago about five groups where the skins got mixed up and one of them turned out to be a Balmum. And we went through all the scenarios over there. We said there's no way for them to bring a Pesach Sheni, because no matter what, you're always going to have some kind of suffix, which we can't resolve. So similarly over here, we can't have him bring a korban and say it's a tanai, it should be a Pesach, or it should be a shlomim, because there's the blood of them is applied to them as they act differently, and then different other issues that we brought up in the sugya over there. So therefore, he's potter from making Pesach Sheni, because it might be bringing that he's bringing cholin into the azar. And then if we say that he's going to make it, it might be a Pesach, it might be Shlomim. You can't do that because the Pesach and the Shlomim have their blood applied to the Mizbeach. Okay. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learned similarly in a Braisa, Reb Shimon ben Oisha, Reb Yechon ben Broikaimer, Befakeach Bagal, a person who was digging out a pile of rubble, Itim Potter, Itim Chayev. Sometimes he's Potter from Pesach Sheni, sometimes he's Chayev. Ketzad, Gal Ogol, Venim says Tumor Tachtav, if it's a round pile and he finds the Tumor underneath him, Chayev, then he's Chayev. Gal Oroch, Venim says Tumor Tachtav, Potter. But if it's a long pile and he finds the Tumor underneath him, then he's Potter. Ema Toher Hoyev, Shas Shchita, because you could say maybe he was Toher at the time of Shchita. There is an interesting point on this, by the way, that the Taz and the Shach argue on this point in Yeridaya, in the halachas of Avelis. We have a concept that a person has a chazaka of being alive. And also this person had a chazaka of being tahor. So why don't we say then that only now he became, that only now he became tamei. And we're saying when it's a gal oruch, we're saying that only now he became tamei. But on the other hand, the fact is we find the person dead. Shouldn't that mean you have a concept called kol ha-tumas kishas metiyosan? Any tumah you find, you assume that that's how it was. So therefore you should assume, in other words, right now you find. The question is like this: on the one hand, we say kol atumas kishas mitziyasan, but on the other hand, doesn't the person under the rubble have a chazaka that he was alive? At one point, we know that he was alive. Now we find him dead. But why shouldn't we assume that he died at some point after you started digging? And therefore, in other words, that when you were over him, you would have still been tahor. In other words, again, we're saying if it's a round pile of stones, then we assume right away, as soon as you start digging, you immediately become tamei. How do you know? Maybe he was still alive in there for the next 5 minutes or whatever. And meanwhile, they shecht the korban, and therefore, yeah. So the Taz says the reason is because since ultimately, when do we say that a person has a chazaka being alive? When you don't know if he died, then you can talk about whether a chazaka, whether he's still alive. Here, you know the guy died. Therefore, you don't have that chazaka anymore. The Shach disagrees and says, no, the difference is because here you have a reyesa. Because here you have reason to suspect that he died earlier, because after all, the whole building collapsed on him. That's a reason to assume that gives us a strong reason to assume that he was dead earlier. But where you don't have a reyesa, not necessarily would we say that. Okay. Mishnah says, Ein shechtenes ha-pesach ala yochid divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot shecht the Pesach for one person only. Even if that person has a gigantic appetite and he could eat the whole thing, nevertheless, you can't shecht the Pesach for one person for reasons that we're going to see in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi matir, Rabbi Yossi says it's matir. Now, even if you have a group, Rabbi Yossi continues, even if you have a group of 100 people, so between all of them, the Korban Pesach will be eaten. But none of them are able, no individual of them is able to eat a kazayis. Ain shecht in alei, and you cannot shecht for that group, even though between all of them, the Korban Pesach will be eaten, because none of them is considered somebody who could eat the Korban Pesach, because none of them is able to eat a kazayis. So therefore, what you would have to have is you'd have to have at least one person in the group who could eat a kazayis, and then you can shecht the, in other words, Sarashi explains, Rabbi Yossi is saying, you're thinking that it depends on whether you're thinking it depends on how many people there are. No, it doesn't matter. If you have one person, as long as he can eat a kazayas, that's good enough. The rest of it is going to become no, so doesn't matter. But if you have the entire group, not one of them can eat a kazayas, then you can. The Rambam actually learns it differently. He learns that the vort is something. He learns the vort is, again, like we said before, we're concerned about noiser. So the point is that, if nobody can eat a kazayis, you can't shecht for them. But the point is, even if you have some people who could eat a kazayis, still you shouldn't be including the people who can't eat a kazayis, because we learned before, l'chatchila, you're not supposed to shecht the korban, lo'oichla v'shaloi lo'oichla. But yeah, you include them, then fine. But l'chatchila, you should have in mind only the ones who can eat a kazayis each. Therefore, you should have enough people registered for the korban pesach. That you're going to have that you have a reasonable guarantee that all of them are going to be able to eat. In other words, if you have, let's say, one person who is just barely able to eat a kazayis, and the rest of them can't even do that, then according to the Rambam, don't be shecht in the Korban Pesach on behalf of such a group. Whereas according to Rashi, you could. Okay. The Mishnah finishes off. Ve'ein oisin chavuras noshim ba'avodim uktanim. You cannot make a group of women, avodim, and children. Now, does that mean all of them together, or does that mean each one individually? We're going to talk about in the Gemara. Okay, so the Gemara says, Tanan Rabban, Minayin Shein Shechtan Asa Pesach Ala Yochid. How do we know, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that you cannot shecht the Korban Pesach for one individual person, even if he's able to eat the whole thing? Talmud Lema. Therefore, the pasuk says Lo Yisucha Lizbayach Asap Pasach Ba'achad Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. The pasuk says the whole pasuk goes Lo Yisucha Lizbayach Asap Pasach Ba'achad Sha'orecha. You're not allowed to shecht the korban in one of your gates. Now, the simple meaning of it is, in other words, that you're not allowed to shecht the korban Pesach outside the Beis Hamikdash in one of your cities. But Rabbi Yehuda is taking the word ba'achad by itself and darshaning that it means you can't shecht the korban Pesach on behalf of one. Yeah. So divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi says no. Yochid v'yochal lo'ichle. If you have one individual person, but he's able to eat the whole thing, shecht in all of, then you can shecht the whole korban Pesach for him. But if even you have 10 people, if none of them are able to eat a kazayis of it, then you can't shecht the korban for them. So the question is, now what does Rabbi Yosi say? Which, by the way, Tosfos points out, if you have if you have 10 people and they can't eat the whole korban Pesach between themselves, Tosfos points out, Rabbi Yehuda would agree you shouldn't shecht the korban Pesach for them because then you're going to end up with no yisur. You have a mitzvah not to leave noisa. So Rabbi Yehuda is just saying, in other words, so in other words, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi would agree that you should arrange the group in such a way that the whole thing can be eaten. Just Rabbi Yehuda is saying, even if you happen to have one person and he could eat the whole thing, because the pasuk says ba'achad, therefore you can. And Rabbi Yosi says that doesn't matter. You could shecht it for one person, you could shecht it for 10, you could shecht it for 100, as long as between all of them the korban will be eaten. And as we said in the Mishnah, also as long as each one of them, or at least appointed Ashi, at least one of them is able to eat a kezias. Okay. So the question is, Rabbi Yosi, hi ba'achad my obidle. What is Rabbi Yosi doing with the word ba'achad? Now, Tosfos points out we did have a drasha about it that we had before. We had an opinion previously in the Gemara of who was it? Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher Rabbi Yechon ben Broka, I think it was, that said that if you have Rabbi Elazar ben Masya said that if you have the people are exactly half Tomei and half Tahor, and you have one extra Tomei more than the Tahorim, then that's not a good enough reason to bring up Matumah. You need a majority of at least two. So he used the word Ba'achad. So the Gemara could say over here that Rabbi Yosi uses it for the same Darasha, but the Gemara is going to find a different thing that Rabbi Yosi uses it for. So Mivoy Lechidur of Shimon. Rabbi Yosi would use it for the limud that Rabbi Shimon says. The Tanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minay lo zeveach has pischei b'bamas yochid b'sh'as isra b'amos. Now, how do we know like this? You have periods of time in Jewish history when b'amos, when private mizbechus were allowed. Then you have times, which is most of Jewish history, when private mizbechus are not allowed. Namely, during the 40 years that the Mishkan was in the Midbar, they were not allowed to have private b'amos. So they weren't allowed to shecht anywhere else in the machne, in fact. If you wanted to shecht an animal, you had to bring it as a korban. Then later on, you had, after the 14 years of conquering and dividing out Israel, they set up the Mishkan and Shiloh. And again, during that time, private bamos are also. Then eventually, Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. Yeah, the Mishkan was in Noiv and Givon for 57 years. After that, the first Beis HaMikdash was started to be built. And from then on, bamos are also. Private bamos are also. You find in Sefer Malachim over and over, where it criticizes the Jewish people that they still had bamos, because they claimed to have some kind of heter for it, but they didn't. The fact is, it's also. Eventually, Chizkiyahu finally got rid of that, and Yoshiyahu, a generation later, reinforced that. Anyway, now, so what you have is like this. When you have, so like this, normally if you bring korban, normally if a person brings korbanos outside the Beis Mikdash, when they're not allowed to, usually they're chayav kares. But here, what we're saying is that Rav Shimon is saying that if a person shechts his korban Pesach on a bamas yachid at a time when bamas are osur, then he's not chayev kares, but shu beloisese. That he's chayev for a loisese. Now, why shouldn't he be chayev kares? Rashi refers to a Gemara in Zvachim that talks about this and says, the Gemara says over there, the reason is we're talking about before Chatzos. Before Chatzos, the korban Pesach can't be brought in the Beis Mikdash. The point is, therefore, when the korban is possible to bring in the Beis Mikdash, then if a person shechts it outside the Beis Mikdash at that time, then he's not chayev kares. So, but he's over on the lav that we're saying over here. So if he shechts it in the morning of Erev Pesach on a bamas yachid, b'sh'as isra bamas, shuba loiseseh, then he's over on a loiseseh. How do we know that? Tamad loimah loisuchal lizbayach ha'pasach ba'achad sha'orecha. Therefore, the pasuk says you're not allowed to shecht the korban Pesach in one of your cities. So, therefore, one in the woods, so you have a lav for it. So, yochol af b'shas heter abomos kain. You would think maybe the same lav applies even during the periods when bomos are mutter. Now, the fact is, even when bomas are mutter, you can only bring on them nedarim or nedaris. You can only bring on them karbonis that you voluntarily bring, an ola, a shlomim, a toida. You also can't be, and a korban pesach is not something that's nidav and nidav, because you're required to bring korban pesach. It's also considered a korban sibur, and you don't bring karbonis sibur on a private bomber either. So you would think, though, that the same lav should still apply, even at that time. No, tamad loyma. Ba'achad sha'arecha, therefore the pasuk says, doesn't just say b'sha'arecha, which would mean in your cities, it says ba'achad sha'arecha, in one of your gates, meaning lo amru ela b'sha'ar shekol Yisrael mechnasim b'sha'arecha. This law applies only when the Jewish people are all coming into one gate, meaning they're all coming to one Beis Mikdash to bring their korbanos, because they can't bring them anywhere else. But not at times when bomer is amutar, and therefore they're not all coming through one gate, because different people are going to different places to bring korbanos. So then the lav doesn't apply. So therefore, Rav Yosi is using the word ba'achad for that limud. By the way, it's interesting that Rambam, in his first version of Sefer HaMitzvahs, put this lav of bringing the Korban Pesach outside of this Mikdash as one of the 365 lavim. Then in a later edition of Sefer HaMitzvahs, he took it out because it comes out from the Gemara over here. First of all, this is only a point of Shimon, and second of all, because it's really we're saying that this whole thing is only talking about during certain periods of Jewish history when bomas are mutter. Throughout most of Jewish history, bomas are also, so there's no reason really to put it as a separate lav. Nevertheless, the chinuch apparently had it in his version of Sefer HaMitzvahs, because he, I guess, used an earlier version. So he has it in the Sefer HaChinuch. And in fact, the mitzvah, when we say the list of mitzvahs on Shavuos night as part of Tikkun Leil Shavuos, it's in there. It's in parenthesis to show that it doesn't really belong, but it's in there. And Tikkun Leil Shavuos, you have at the end of it, you have the list of the Tayag mitzvahs based on the Sefer HaChinuch, based on the order of the list, based on the list in the order in which the Sefer HaChinuch wrote it. But you have over there, that one is in parenthesis, because it was, the Chinuch had it among his mitzvahs, but we don't have it in our Sefer HaMitzvahs. So the Rambam, and therefore it's in parenthesis. So really, in other words, we're not really saying 613 mitzvahs on that night, we're saying 614. So the question is, Rabbi Yehuda Haimanoli, new and according to Rabbi Yehuda, where does he learn that from? He also has to agree that you're also to bring the Korban Pesach on a bomber anytime, and that when bomers are also, then there's at least a lot involved. The answer is Tauti Shaman. He would say you could learn both things from the one pasuk, because you can learn from the word ba'achad, and you can learn from the fact that it said the word achad at all, and also from the fact that it says sharef. Yeah. So you can learn both. Olav Yosi. So now the question is back on Rav Yosi. Mimai de lahochi de ka'amar Rav Shimon. How do we know? Why? What makes him say that we should use the word ba'achad to teach us Rav Shimon's din? Et dilma k'de ka'amar Rav Yehuda Hudasa. Maybe indeed it comes to tell us Rav Yehuda's din that you can't shech the Korban Pesach for one person. And again, Rabbi Yehuda is saying, I learned from it that, as well as that you can't bring the Korban Pesach on a bomas yofid. So maybe, what makes Rabbi Yossi say that we should learn the pasuk like Rabbi Shimon rather than like Rabbi Yehuda? Now, Rashi says, I mean, what kind of a question is that? It's not a big deal. Fine, you have two drushas available, but really the Gemara is just bringing the question as an introduction to the answer. In other words, this is one of those cases, the answer is better than the question. The question is really there only in order to give an introduction to the answer, because that's the style of the Gemara, is to introduce things with a question. So the reason is, Amalach, Rabbi Yossi would tell you, Loi Sakadaitach, you can't think that the Pasuk is telling you that you can't bring the Korban Pesach for one person, Dachtiv, Ish Lafi Ochlai, because the Pasuk says every person according to what he can eat. So if one person can eat the whole thing, then you can check it for one person. So therefore, that forces me to say, he says that the word Ba'achad is not telling us this din that you can't bring the Korban Pesach for one person, but only this din about the bombs.
When a person
has a private bomber, they're not allowed to bring the Korban Pesach on it ever. But when bombers are mutter, they're not over on a lab. And when bombers are also, then they're over on a lab. But again, this is if they did it on Erev Pesach morning. If they did it Erev Pesach afternoon, then they'd be chayiv kores like any other shchutei chutz, like any other korbanos that you bring outside of the mishmash. Because you did it during the time when it could have been brought in the mishmash, right? The Gemara continues, Romilei Rav Ukva Bachinina Parishna L'Rava. Rav Ukva Bachinina from Parishna pointed out to Rava a contradiction. Mi Amar Rav Yehuda Ein Shechnas HaPesach Al Yachid. Did Rav Yehuda really say you can't shech the Korban Pesach for one person alone? Or a Minu? But you have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Isha Barishan Shriften Aleh Bifnatma. For a woman, for Pesach Rishon, you can shecht for her by herself. The Pashtus, that means by herself. One woman is going to eat the whole thing. And Rabbi Yehuda continues, when it comes to Pesach Sheni, you can't shecht the Korban Pesach for her alone, but because he holds, we're going to discuss soon. Now, you were mentioning before the question, are women chayev in Korban Pesach? Rabbi Yehuda holds they're chayev in the first Pesach, but not in the second. So the second is only a reshus. So therefore, he says you can't shecht the Korban Pesach for a woman by herself, Pesach Sheni. You can only make her, you can join her, tfela means you join her to a group, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore, we see that Rabbi Yehuda says you could shecht for one person alone. Because we're saying Pesach Rishon, you could shecht for her alone. Amalei, so Rava answers, loy teima b'fnei atzma, ela eima b'fnei atzman. It doesn't mean b'fnei atzma for one woman alone. We mean for a whole group of women, for them plural, yeah. So Rabbi Yehuda would say, by Pesach Rishon, you can have a group that's entirely women. They can eat a Korban Pesach between themselves. Pesach Sheni, though, because Pesach Sheni is only Rishus, then therefore you can only do it only if they're part of another group. That includes men. By the way, the Rambam learns that this is only talking about if Pesach Sheni, if Pesach Rishon versus Sheni, Erev Pesach, whatever, comes out on Shabbos. If it's on a weekday, the Rambam learns that there's no problem. You could shecht, even if it's a Rishus, fine. So what's the problem? You can see they're still allowed to bring it. So therefore, you'd be allowed to shecht it on their behalf. There are actually some of the Mefarshim on the Rambam who understand the words of the Rambam differently, but that seems to be that's the push of Pshat in the Rambam, and that's how I think the Me'iri understands the Rambam. Okay, anyway. So the question is, Omalei, sort of Ukva Bachinna says, Mi Abdinin Chabura Shakula Nashim. What do you mean? Are we allowed to make a group of all women? Vatan, we learned in our Mishnah, Ein Oisim Chaburas Nashim Vavodim Akhtanim. You can't make a group of women of Avodim and of Tanim. My lot, our Mishnah. My love, Nashim Lachudayu Vavodim Lachudayu Tanim Lachudayu. Lachuda, the Mishnah is saying that you can't make a group of exclusively women or exclusively Avodim or exclusively children. Which Tosfos points out, then if we understood the Mishnah that way, originally we would have said the reason is because the women you're going to have, each one is going to rely on the other to keep things running and not, and then the Korban Pesach is going to end up becoming possible. But you would have said one woman by herself you're allowed to because she has nobody to rely on. But now that you're saying that Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't shecht ever for one person by themselves, so why would the Mishnah be telling us you can't have a group of women? So it would be women plural because they might be careless. One woman because Rabbi Yehuda doesn't allow for one person. So isn't that what the Mishnah means? The answer is Amalei. So Rava tells him, "Loi, noshim va'avodim uktanim." Means you can't have a group of women together with avodim or a group of avodim together with children. But you could have a group of women by themselves. Yeah. And the reason is, noshim va'avodim mishum tiflus. You can't have women together with avodim because of Aveira, because they may come to be mizane with each other. Avodim are famous for being careless with that. And Ktanim, Avodim, Mishum Pritzusa. And you can't have Avodim with Ktanim because of Mishkav Zohar. Because again, the Avodim are very prone to all these kinds of znus, and therefore they may get the kids into that. But it doesn't mean that you can't have a group of only women. A group of only women is fine. Rabbi Yehuda is just saying. And so Rabbi Yehuda is saying you can't have one woman by herself, but a group of women is fine. When it comes to Pesach Sheni, because Rabbi Yehuda holds that women are not chayiv in Pesach Sheni, therefore he says you can't have a group of exclusively women. And again, according to the Pshat of Rambam, it would mean that he says that's only when it comes out on Shabbos, because you can't shecht it on their behalf. But if it was a weekday, it would be fine.
Yeah, Shabbos, because you can't.
Because you can't be Mechal Shabbos for a group where it's only Rishus.
Oh, because of women.
Right. Okay. So now let's get into that discussion. Gufa. Isha Barishan Shecht and Aleh B'fnei Atzma. A woman by herself, you can shecht the Korban Pesach for her for the first Pesach. And again, we said before, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that means not one individual woman; it means a group of women. Uvasheni oisin oisat tefila lacherim. When it comes to Pesach Sheni, you only make her a group. You only make her part of a group. You make her part of a group that includes other people, that includes men. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Yosi oim Isha Barishan Shecht and Aleh B'fnei Atzma. Rabbi Yossi says that no, the Korban Pesach, you can shecht for women by themselves, the Pesach Sheni. And according to Rabbi Yossi, remember, it could be one woman also if she can eat the whole thing. So you can shecht even for one woman, let alone for a group of women. The Ein Sarach Lema Berishin, needless to say that that's true of the first Pesach, because if they're chayiv in the second Pesach, for sure they're chayiv in the first Pesach. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Isha Berishin, Oisin Oisa, Tefillah L'Acherim. Rabbi Shimon says, no, even Pesach Rishin, she's not chayiv Dar Daisa. So even Pesach Rishin, she can only be part of a group, but not not the exclusive group, can't be only women. But Sheni and Shechna, like a Kolikar, when it comes to Pesach Sheni, Rabbi Shimon says, you don't shecht for her at all, even to make her part of a group. Because the problem is that you're going to have Pesach Nechol, Shaloi Lemnuyav. And the same thing would apply to Avadim, whatever, in general, whatever mitzvahs women are chayiv and Avadim are chayiv. So therefore, so when it comes to Pesach Rishon, Pesach Rishon is a Rishus, but we're going to explain in the Gemara. Rav Shimon would say that both Pesachs are Rishus for women and Avadim, but the first Pesach, we have a Pesach that tells us that they're allowed to eat from it, even though they're not required to bring a Korban Pesach, and therefore they're not considered Minuyav. But the second Pesach, we don't have that limud, therefore they're also to eat the Pesach Sheni altogether. So you can't even make them part of a group, according to him. So let's analyze. But my what is the underlying machlokas? So like this, Rabbi Yehuda Sava the Michsas Nefashas. Rabbi Yehuda says, let's start with the pasuk where it says by the Pesach Rishon. It says by the count of souls. Now, if it said Anoshim, then it would mean men. But it says souls, so that means Vafilu Noshim. So it means even women. So therefore, women are chayv in Pesach Rishon. V'chitema I hochi afilu b'sheni nami. So then you would say, well, in that case, wouldn't the same rule apply to Pesach Sheni? So women would be chayv in Pesach Sheni as well. No. K'siv cheto yisoho ishahu. By Pesach Sheni, it says if he doesn't bring the korban Pesach, then that man will bear his guilt. In other words, he's chayv kares. So therefore, so we see, in other words, that it applies only to men. Now, ish. Now, Rashi explains like this. We're going to learn in the next parak like this. The pasuk about Pesach Sheni goes like this. And if a person was tahor and he wasn't on a far way and he failed to do the Pesach, the nichrasa hanefesh ahi me'amer, then he gets kares. Then the pasuk continues, ki korban Hashem lo hikru b'mayadai, ki, the korban of Hashem, he didn't bring in its proper time, cheto yisoho ishavu, that person bears his guilt. Now, what does that man bears his guilt? Now, what does that mean? We know that there's four ways of understanding the word ki. One meaning of the word ki can be because, and in that case, it means the second half of the pasuk is explaining the first half. But another way, we're going to talk about that on Daf Tzadik Gimel. But another way of understanding it is that the word ki means if, and therefore it's a new statement. Number one, he didn't bring Pesach Rishon, so he gets Kares. And when does he get Kares? If he didn't bring Pesach Sheni, then he gets Kares for having failed to bring either Pesach. That's, we're going to talk about that on Daf Tzadik Gimel, that Rebbe learns like that. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda agrees with that way of understanding it. So it means, what it means is if Korban Hashem lehikir b'mayadai, then cheto yisa. In other words, that there's two separate things, Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda understands like that. So he says, therefore, that since the second half of the pasuk is not tied to the first part, it's telling us a new case. If he didn't bring Pesach Sheni, then cheto yisa ho'ishahu. And since it says ho'ish, means not ho'isha, so it means only a man is chayv in Pesach Sheni, not a woman. Cheto yisa ho'ishahu, ish ein isha lo. So you would say in that case, then we should say like Reb Shimon and say she's not even allowed to eat from Pesach Sheni. Why is Reb Yehuda saying you can join her with a group of men? The reason is because you have a pasuk by Pesach Sheni that says the Pesach Sheni has all the rules of the first Pesach. So therefore, So that tells us, in other words, that unless otherwise specified, the rules of Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni are the same. Since a woman is allowed to eat from Pesach Rishon, therefore she's allowed to eat from Pesach Sheni, but she's not chayev in it because it says chete yisahor ishavu. And Rabbi Yehuda is understanding that half of the pasuk is a separate statement, not tied to the first half. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. V'Rab Yosi my timer. Now, what does Rab Yosi say that she's chayev equally in both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? Dichtib Barishin b'michsas nefashas v'afilu isha. Again, by the first Pesach, same as Rabbi Yehuda said, but it says b'michsas nefashas by the count of souls, meaning women as well. Uchtib Pesach Sheni v'nichrasah nefesh ahi miYisrael. Now, by the Pesach Sheni, it says that a person gets kares. Now, to be exact, the pasuk v'nichrasah nefesh ahi is not actually a pasuk that it says by the Korban Pesach. We're going to learn later on in that sugya, on Daf Tzadik Gimel, we're going to learn that there's a gzeira shava between the case of Megadeth, a person who curses, who blasphemes Hashem, and a person who doesn't bring the Korban Pesach. And so once we have the gzeira shava, then it says if it's said this pasuk by the Korban Pesach itself. Now, Rabbi Yehuda understands the pasuk to be saying And that key carbon Hashem lehikur b'mayadai is referring that it's the continuation. It's not two halves of the pasuk where each one is telling us a different din. They're telling us one continuous thing, that if a person doesn't bring Pesach Sheni, didn't bring Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni, then he's chayiv kares. So therefore, when it says chete yisoh ishavu, and we learn by exeda shava that it means that the person is chayiv karis, then it means when it says nefesh, then nefesh vafilu nashim. When it says a nefesh ahi, then it means women as well. The ela chete yisoh ishavu l'ma'utimai. So according to Rabbi Yossi, what are we excluding from her ishavu if according to him a woman is also chayiv karis for not bringing Pesach Sheni? So the answer is Lamote Katan Mikoris. The point is, the pasuk really telling us that Ish, not as opposed to Isha, but as opposed to a cotton. That a cotton who doesn't bring Pesach Sheni is not Chayiv Karis. Now, what's the Chiddush in it? Tosfos says, of course, a cotton is never Chayiv Unshin. The point is, what if he was a cotton by Pesach Rishon, and now by the time of Pesach Sheni, he's a godly, he developed Shtei Cyrus? You would think that if he doesn't bring Pesach Sheni and he hadn't been part of a group of Pesach Rishon, he should be Chayiv Karis. And therefore, the Torah is telling you that not.
Why not?
Because the fact is, at the time of Pesach Rishon, he was a cotton, and Pesach Sheni is only Tashlumin. Actually, one of the things we're going to discuss in that sugya is the question: is Pesach Rishon Tashlum? Is Pesach Sheni Tashlumin of the Rishon? Is it only a makeup for it, or is it a separate mitzvah? Yeah. So therefore, the word ish comes to tell us not a cotton. It doesn't mean anything about women. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi says, since we have a Gzeira Shava that teaches us v'nichrasah ha-nefesh ahi, and nefesh means both men and women, so it means women are also chayiv in Pesach Sheni, says Rabbi Yossi. Okay. V'Rab Shimon. Now, what about Rabbi Shimon, who says that women are not chayiv either in Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni, and just they're allowed to eat from Pesach Rishon, but they're not allowed even to eat from Pesach Sheni? Well, how does Rabbi Shimon understand the psukim? Ksiv Barishin Ish, because by Pesach Rishon it says the word Ish, and we're going to discuss soon which Ish does it mean, but it says multiple times in Pesach Rishon, it says the word Ish, so we're going to talk about soon which Ish he's talking about, but it does say there the word Ish, Ish Aloy, so therefore that means an Ish, only a man, not a woman. So then you would say in that case, then women shouldn't be allowed to eat from the Korban Pesach even. Fine, we have the word b'michsas tefoshes, which means souls, which means men or women. So that means women can join in eating the Pesach. Then you're going to say, okay, in that case, Pesach Sheni as well. No, miyat rachmana b'sheni, yichtiv cheta yisoho ish, ish ein, ish aloy. Again, he uses the same limud as Rabbi Yehuda, that since it says, and he understands the pasuk like Rabbi Yehuda that the Rishon and the Sheni are described separately in the pasuk, and therefore, so Sheni is only Ish, not Isha, not like Rabbi Yossi who deals with the Gzeira Shava and mentions the word Nefesh. So by the second Pesach, then you have Ein. So now we have to ask me my Kuma Mayitlei. Sort of Shimon continues. Now when we say that women are that we have a miut that women are not doing Pesach Sheni, what are we being Mamai? Are you going to say that the Torah is memai that they don't have a chiyuv? There's no chiddush in that. Hash to barishon loy v'sheni mivoya. If they're not even required to bring Pesach Rishon, because Rabbi Shimon is learning from the word ish that they're not even chayiv in Pesach Rishon, they can only be a member of the group. Would you need to say that they're not chayiv in Pesach Sheni?
So can I interrupt you for a second?
We're in the middle of learning, but what is it?
$10.
No, I cannot. Sorry. No. Please, So imechiyuv hashda barishon loy b'sheni mivoya. If a woman is not even chayiv in Pesach Rishon, does it need to be said that she's not chayiv in Pesach Sheni? Ela lav mitzvela. Obviously, therefore, the pasuk is excluding that even tefela. She's not sure that she can't even do tefela. She can't even join a group. So that's where Rav Shimon says that Pesach Rishon, she's not chayiv, and Pesach Sheni, she can't even join in. Okay. So, umay ish to ka'amar Rav Shimon. Now, which place where it says ish is Rav Shimon learning from that Pesach Rishon is, there's a mitzvah only, there's a chiyuv only for men, and women don't have a chiyuv, they can just join in a group. E name of the yichulam ish selaves of this grammar. Is it because the pasuk says that each ish should take a sheep for their house? No, because we can't use that word ish to say a man, not a woman, because we need that for Rabbi Yitzchok's limud. when you have, when one person buys something for somebody else or gets a present on behalf of somebody else. So if he's an adult, then he's, if he's an ish, meaning of an adult, whether a man or a woman, then they're able to be zoicha with it on behalf of other people. So therefore, so I bought something for you in the store. So now you are zoicha in it because I bought it for you. But not if a katan does that. Rashi says, because a katan can't be a shliach. Tosfos mentions what it is even when, now you have a difference. You have, let's say, for example, you can have a katan find something. There's no das acheres. There's only the das of the katan. Then for sure, he can't be mezakeh to other people. But like this, where a katan goes and buys something in the store, where after all, you have the storekeeper is a grown up and he is giving it to him. So you would think, therefore, maybe. So you would think, therefore, maybe he could be mezakeh. You have das acheres makne, it's called. So he could be mezakeh to the kid, and in turn, he'll be mezakeh to the adult. We say that even that doesn't work because of the word ish. But we're not using the word ish over there to exclude a woman. So the element ish lafi ochloi. Are you going to say we're learning from the word ish lafi ochloi later on in that same pasuk, or the next pasuk, really? No, the problem is, since, as we said on Amud Aleph, that Reb Yossi agrees with Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon had said, we learn from the Pasuk, that you can't shech the Korban Pesach on a Bamas Yochid, and if a person does, then he's chayev, then he's over on a lav. Reb Yossi uses that limud. Therefore, we would assume Reb Shimon nami savalak Reb Yossi. So Reb Shimon, therefore, we would assume, also agrees with Reb Yossi. And we said Reb Yossi uses the word ish lefi ochloi to say that you could shech the Korban Pesach even for one person as long as he can eat the whole thing. So therefore, so you don't have that ish available either. So what ish is Reb Shimon using to say that only men, not women? The answer is omaloch. Reb Shimon will answer you. Im kain, if it was just meant to teach you that you can shech the Korban Pesach for one person as long as he can eat the whole thing, then if it meant that, nichtev rachmona lofi ochloi, the pasuk could have just said according to his eating. My ish, why does it have to add the word ish? Shamet minotarti. Therefore, Reb Shimon says you can learn two things. You can learn that the chiyuv of Korban Pesach is only on men, not on women. And you can also learn that you can check the Korban Pesach for one person as long as they can eat the whole thing. The Gemara says, "Kaman ozla hoda amar Rabbi Lazar." Which of these three opinions does Rabbi Lazar go like? Where Rabbi Lazar says, "Ishan isha berishan chayva uvashenu rishus," that a woman in Pesach Rishon is required to join in a Korban Pesach. The second, if Pesach Sheni is only a rishus, and he continues with doicha as a Shabbos, and bringing the Korban Pesach for her is doicha Shabbos. So the Gemara says, "One second, I rishus, am I doicha as a Shabbos? What do you mean? If it's a rishus, how could it be doicha Shabbos?" What he means to say is Pesach Sheni is only a Rishus for her, or Barishin Choyva, Pesach Rishin is a Choyva for her, the Doicha is a Shabbos, and therefore it is Doicha Shabbos, the first one, right? So Keman, who would that be like? Rabbi Yehuda. That has to be like Rabbi Yehuda, because again, according to Rabbi Yossi, she's Chayev in the second one as well. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you'd be Doicha Shabbos for the second one for her as well. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you can't be Doicha Shabbos for her for either one, because both of them are only a Rishus. In fact, actually, according to Rabbi Shimon, you can't Shechta on behalf of a group of women anyway, even Pesach Rishon. You can only make them Tfela. You can only add them together to other people. Okay. Another din in this connection, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yechanan. You cannot make a group of exclusively gerim for the Korban Pesach. Shema yidachtiku boy, because they may get particular with it. They may find they're not bnei Torah, Rashi says. So therefore, they're going to start being machmir and finding different details. And they're going to end up making it possible. They're going to make it possible for nothing because they're going to think of various details that they think are passing it, and really they're not. Tosfos actually discusses that in some other places in the Gemara, we find that actually Gerim are sometimes less careless in mitzvahs than regular Jews. So Tosfos actually brings a girsa from the Yerushalmi that what it is the Gerim precisely that. Not like we're saying in the Gemara over here, they may be over medactic in it, but they may be under medactic. They may not be medactic enough to make sure that it stays tahor, to make sure that it's not, and whatever. And then they're going to end up making it kosher because of carelessness, because they don't know the dini. according to the girsa we have in front of us, it could be what Rashi means is, in other words, we're not talking about things that are actually required up yalocha, but they being gedim, not being b'nei terda, they're likely to think up various chumras of their own, various details of their own, which are going to end up passing it for no good reason because they're not. It's not in fact possible. To eat Pesach matzah and morer on the first night of Pesach is a choiva. Mikan ve'elach rishus. Throughout the rest of Pesach, it's only a rishus. And the Gemara is going to ask a second, 1 second. You only have Pesach on the first night. What do you mean? What do you mean? It's rishus the rest of the days. So we'll get to that in a second. Reb Shimon omer ba'anoshim choiva of anoshim rishus. Reb Shimon says it's a choiva. It's a requirement for men. It's only a rishus for women. So the question is a heyakoi. When the Tanakhama says mikan ve'elach rishus, that afterwards, after the first night, it's only rishus. What is he talking about? Ilema a Pesach. Is he talking about the Korban Pesach? Can't Pesach kol shiva miyika. You don't have Pesach the entire 7 days of Pesach. You have the Korban Pesach. You only have the first night. Ve'ela a matzah u'moro. So you're going to say, okay, he means matzah and moro. So there's a rishus. It's choiva to eat matzah and moro the first night, but it's rishus the rest of the days. Ema sefer, but look at the next part of the braisa. Reb Shimon omer ba'anoshim choiva uva noshim rishus. Reb Shimon says only men are chayav, women is only a rishus. What do you mean? Less later, Reb Shimon hada amar Reb Elazar noshim chayavas ba'achilas matzah dvar Torah. Doesn't Reb Shimon agree with what Reb Elazar says that women are chayav to eat matzah min ha-Torah? Shenema, because the pasuk says loisechol al chametz shivas yom techol al matzahs. We had this earlier in the Masechta. That there's a hekish between eating chametz and eating matzah. That you can't eat chametz for 7 days and you have to eat matzah. Kol sheyeshnim v'altoichol chametz yeshnim v'kumachol matzah. Anybody who has the issur of not eating chametz has the mitzvah of eating matzah. V'hani noshim hoyo v'yeshnim v'altoichol chametz. Women are chayiv not to eat chametz because it's a lav in the Torah, and women are chayiv in all lavim in the Torah. Therefore, yeshnim v'kumachol matzah. Therefore, even though eating matzah is a mitzvah tesa shazman groma, there's still chayiv in it. And Reb Shimon should agree with that. So what do you mean? Ela Ema, no, we have to correct the braisa as follows. Pesach, matzah, umorah, berisha, and choiva. These three things are choiva the first night. Mikan ve'elach rishus. But from then on, matzah and morah are only a rishus. Reb Shimon Ema, Pesach, ba'anoshim choiva, ba'anoshim rishus. Reb Shimon says, even when it comes to the Pesach, don't think it's a choiva for everybody on the first night, only for men, not for women. Because like Reb Shimon said before, women are not chayev in the Korban Pesach in the first place. They're only chayev, and so he agrees, they're chayev in matzah and morah the first night, but not Korban Pesach. That he says, they're not chayev, and they can only be a tefillah, they can only be an addition to another, to a group, or to a group that includes people who are chayev.
And there's no question of Pesukim, how he learns that, right?
That we said before, how he learns it from the Pesukim. We said he learns the fact that it says ish in one place by the Pesach Rishon teaches us that only men are chayev. It says b'michsas nefashos, that means that women are allowed to eat from it, just they're not required to. And then by Pesach Sheni, since it says chetu yisahu ishahu, that means a miut, that women are not chayev, it can't mean that women are not chayev in Pesach Sheni. If they're not chayev in Pesach Rishon, there's no reason to think they're chayev in Pesach Sheni. So it means he says they're not even allowed to eat Pesach Sheni. Because it would be nechol shalom the minuyav. Again, that was according to Reb Shimon, and then we had Reb Yehuda, and we had Reb Yosi. So the halacha, the Rambam paskins that women are chayiv in case the Rambam paskins like Reb Yehuda, women are chayiv in Pesach Rishon and potter from Pesach Sheni. Nevertheless, at least according to the pshat of the Rambam, when it comes to Pesach Sheni, you could have a group of all women unless it's Shabbos, and then you can't because you can't shecht a korban for people where it's only a rishos. Yeah. Okay. Okay, everyone.